morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Today marks the last Sunday of Pentecost that we're going to celebrate for the church year. So we looked, as we saw, what Jesus did as he came in Advent, eventually what he did throughout Lent, and then Easter when he rose to life, and then the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And for this whole season now, for 20 Sundays, including today, we've been celebrating how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, lives of faith. Well, next week we're going to transition into end time as we look to the last day, and today is a pretty good transition day as we look at ourselves and try to see how we live lives of fruitfulness for the Lord. So that'll be the theme for today. Today is a pretty special day. It's going to be a shortened service today because we have our very important listening sessions coming up. So if you're a visitor with us today, please note that services aren't normally going to be this short. But we'll still be able to hear God's word, take in the gospel, and glorify our Lord today in our worship. So we begin our worship today on page 3 in your bulletins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We'll join together in the opening hymn 234. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Please stand. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord.
It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night.
From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light.
You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness,
but will have the light of life.
Let us confess our sins to God and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven,
I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. but trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 5 as he pictures God's people and Israel as a fruitless vineyard, and we see God's judgment upon that people. From Isaiah chapter 5. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now, you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. The word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to bring forth fruits of faith and to open their hearts as they have. From 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel this morning comes from Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus speaks to the Jewish leaders. This will also serve as our devotion text for today, from Matthew 21. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and will be given to a people who will produce its fruit." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 462. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our devotion this morning comes from the gospel lesson which you just heard read, so let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your patience. Amen. If somebody asked you, "What is the key to being successful?" what would you say? That's a tough one, isn't it? There's so many different things you could say, and it's kind of hard to encapsulate it all into one single idea or thought. If you ask God that question, what do you think He would say? In our gospel lesson for today, I think He would say that the key to being successful is patient perseverance. Patient perseverance. That's what He showed to the Old Testament people of Israel. That's what He showed to the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day, and that's what He shows to us in our lives too. That's how God lovingly deals with His people. Patient perseverance. Think in the Old Testament how many messages again and again He sends to His people through His prophets, through leaders, messengers, time and again. What did the people do? They rejected it. They beat those prophets. Sometimes they even killed those prophets. Patient perseverance led God to continue to send prophets again and again, even after those things happened. Patient perseverance. Well, when God sent the final major prophet, he was a pretty special one. And there he was a few days before his death, trying to bring forth fruits from his people yet again. But first, he needed to confront their rejection of him and what they were planning to do to him in just a few days. So on busy Tuesday of Holy Week, Jesus gives them a series of parables to try to warn them. And one of those parables is before us this morning. Jesus lovingly tries to show his people God's patient perseverance with them so that they can bring forth fruit from their Lord. So in the temple courts, as he's teaching the people, in the very place where the sacrifices are being conducted that point to him, Jesus says to the Jewish leaders, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. In other words, he did everything that he needed to, everything that a good vineyard owner would do for his vineyard. He left nothing undone for his vineyard. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. Doesn't sound like too smart of a vineyard owner, does he? If you owned a business, would you continue to send your representatives to people like this? It's insane. And yet that's the history of what God did in the Old Testament. His patient perseverance made him almost insane with love for his people to the point where he would send them prophets and time and again to help bring forth fruit. It's insane how often God sends his messengers to us too. How often does God send his servants to us to try to bring forth fruit? We all have consciences that warn us when we're about to sin. We have Christian brothers and sisters who invite us to various fellowship activities and faith-building events. Many of us have a husband or a wife to confront our sins lovingly in times when we really need to hear it, or to build us up in our weaknesses during tough times. Children, you have parents to discipline you and to keep you on the right path. Parents, you have children to humble you as they also show you your sin sometimes and also humble you by their childlike faith that we so often don't have. We have pastors who preach God's word in sermons and who teach God's truths in Bible studies. And how many Bible studies offered throughout the week and every month? We have God's word on our shelves at home or on our smartphone apps or even in our memories from past Bible study. Yet how often do we reject that word, that invitation, that rebuke, that warning? So often we beat, stone, and send away God's attempts to try to bring forth fruit from our hearts. So let's not make the same mistake that the Jewish leaders made, because the mistake they made was a grave one. And Jesus knew it. That's the kicker, isn't it? Jesus knew it was going to happen. He knew what they were going to do to him in a few days. And yet there he is telling them this parable of warning. That itself shows God's patient perseverance with his people. Jesus lovingly continues his parable. Last of all, the vineyard owner sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. How ridiculously insane do you have to be to send your son into a situation like that? To know the hostility that these tenants have shown your servants already, and to send your own son, whom you love, your only son, to them? That's patient perseverance. That's God's insane love. Sadly, the Jewish leaders rejected the son. They didn't like Jesus. Jesus was stealing their glory, they thought. He was pointing out their hypocrisy. He was showing all of these terrible things that they were doing. They didn't think they needed the saving that he had talked about for 3 years now. So they killed him. And yet, it was all a part of God's plan. Jesus here shows that it was all part of God's patient perseverance, that he would still use this terrible thing they did for their sake. He said, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The prophecy talks about a capstone, the stone that holds the whole building together and lines everything up. Well, that's Jesus, and we certainly see that during Holy Week as he gives himself to their cries of crucify him, crucify him. As he willingly says from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. In his patient perseverance, Jesus, by their rejection, was still lining up and holding together their forgiveness and ours. Every time we have ever disregarded God's word or sent away one of his messengers, Jesus made sure that he came and was beaten, rejected, and killed for that. Because he's coming back and he doesn't want you to be rejected before the Father on that last day. And so with patient perseverance, not only did Father send his Son, he sent his Holy Spirit too. Right into your heart. So that by his grace, you're not like those Jewish leaders. You did not reject the Son. Instead, now he has made your heart into a vineyard. And it brings forth fruit to the Lord. So here I am, a servant of the Lord being sent to you today with a message. Are you going to beat, stone, and send away my words? Then be warned. The Son is coming back. And though he has patient perseverance, what do you think he's going to do to those who take advantage of his patience? Or will you respect my words? Because you know that they're not really my words, it's God's word that speaks to you today. He's the one that sends me, Pastor Colander, your spouse, your parent, your child, your Christian brothers and sisters, patiently sends you all of those messengers so that they can warn you, that they can build you up, so that you can bring forth fruit for your Lord. Yes, I'm confident that God will succeed in doing just that. He will help you succeed in bringing forth fruit for the Lord. Amen. You may remain seated. May the grace of our Lord guard your hearts and minds through faith in him until the Son comes back. Amen. We now give our offerings to our Lord. This morning in our prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Bev Heinitz, Stan Kuhlman, Terry Jackson, and Elaine Harmel. We also pray and thanks for those celebrating anniversaries, including Michael and Lori Gunter, celebrating 8 years of marriage. We also celebrate those who have birthdays this week, as well as include a special prayer for the listening sessions going on today. Please stand for the prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer. Lord of power and grace, whose eyes are on the righteous and whose ears are open to their cry, hear the prayer of your people as we come now in thankfulness for the mercies that you pour down on us anew each day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be the Savior of the world. Grant that we may believe in him with all our hearts, learning from him the great truths of the kingdom to which he bore faithful witness. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may produce the fruits of righteousness. May he endow us with unwavering faith, that we might always be ready to do your will. Hear, O Lord, our cry for those who are afflicted. Grant them health in body and soul, and save them for your mercy's sake. Be present in the lives of those celebrating birthdays this week. Guide them to trust even more in your promises of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life, which bring immense value to each new day. Lord, we thank you for the years of love you have given to those celebrating wedding anniversaries. Help them reflect the unity you have with your church as they cherish the unity they have in their marriage. Almighty God, we ask that you bless the work being done today in the listening sessions. Give wisdom and guide the input received today so that St. Mark's can glorify you to the fullest. Receive these petitions in the name of the Prince of Life, Jesus our Lord, as we pray the prayer together that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the closing hymn, hymn 402. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Good morning. It was a pleasure worshiping you with you this morning, even as short as it was. Always great to hear God's word and to be able to preach to you. A few announcements for you this morning. First of all, Trunk or Treat is this Friday. It starts at 7 p.m. I believe this is the first time that St. Mark's has ever done this, and this is an opportunity for us to have people come from the community onto the campus who otherwise maybe never would have, and help see that St. Mark's is here, and it can be a comfort to them, and help us strike up a conversation and create a relationship, hopefully. So this pre-evangelism event will take place this Friday at 7 p.m. If you're interested in signing up, I think the sign-up's still out there. If not, at least please pray that the event could be fruitful. We have a Reformation service next Sunday. It's coming up. Here we go. 500 years in the making. This is the Reformation service. Big one. Now, we'll have a lot of people here on campus. If you signed up, please remember to make sure to bring whatever you got to bring. And if you haven't yet signed up, please do so. We'll have, like I said, a fellowship meal. Or I haven't said that yet, but we'll have a fellowship meal after the service. But a lot of people from the area coming together to praising and praising our Lord for what he did through the Reformation. So that's this next Sunday. Coming up next is not Bible study or teen study or Sunday school or anything. What we'll have now is our listening sessions. Very, very important that you go to this. Visitors, please remember this is a very unique Sunday. Once in, every 10 years. So if you're a visitor with us today, you can go into the church lobby and talk to one of us pastors. Members, we encourage you to stay, join a group, and give your input as we look forward to what ministry has in store for us here at St. Mark's. God bless you today. I hand it over to Tom Schlittenhardt.
It's a little unique this morning, and so I ask for your patience. We encourage all of you to go to a listening session, even if you think I really don't have a lot of input. I think it'll be very educational to you. The listener is the person in the room that's going to take down notes. You will give your input as far as worship, fellowship, and different areas of ministry here at St. Mark's. What we will do in a Lutheran orderly way, we will give you color-coded cards. When you get your card, you will go to the lobby, and there will be a man or a woman holding up that card. You follow them to your session. So you're probably saying, well, what about my coffee? I'd like a little snack. We have those in the room for you. So every room will have coffee, snacks, water. All the children will go to the gym where there'll be activities for them. In fact, the children, if you want to go, you can leave now and go to the gym. And then the adults will start. The usher will usher you out in the center aisle, so if I could have two ushers forward. Please take the inserts with you, because that's what we're going to be discussing. You can leave your bulletins here if you want. Take the inserts with you as you go. And we'll start on the with red here on the right. There's going to be six in each session, and yellow on the left. And then we'll see if we need more. We'll add more as we need them. So just look for somebody that has that color as you leave.